Scripture reading this morning is from John 4, verses 1 through 14. My message this morning is about thirsting for God. John 4, in the pew Bibles, it's 1065. Okay. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How me for a drink, for Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who thirsts, who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." That's as far as we'll read. There's chapter is pretty good to read too, but you can read it on your own at home or whenever. So, people of God, this morning we sang, "As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee." We sing it. Do we feel it? "You alone are my heart's desire." Does that describe your relationship with Jesus Christ? I don't know. Do we long to worship him? Is it just the biggest thrill of our week to say, I'm worshiping God. I've been there with him. He's everything I want. "You alone are my heart's desire." I mean, that's powerful. You alone. That's what we just sang. I sang it too. Is that what we're feeling? Or is it just sort of that's what we should be feeling? I mean, where does love for a spouse come in? Or family? Or friends? Or where does enjoying all the other things in life come in? "I love you more than any other. I love you more than gold or silver." Okay, we can understand we should, or hopefully do. "Only you can satisfy." Yeah, only you can satisfy. "You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye." Those are powerful words. Words that speak of finding our deepest joy and treasure and satisfaction in God. They're neat words. I'm not sure they describe what we all feel. Maybe you're thinking, they describe what I should feel, but I don't. My heart's desire, all I want. After the message, we're going to sing another. We're going to sing an old hymn, "O Jesus, Joy of Loving Hearts." I'll quote a few lines from it too. "From fullest bliss that earth imparts, we turn unfilled to you again. the best thing from the best things that happen in life. We turn unfilled. We're just not filled there, and we turn to you again. Again, powerful words. Do we mean them? Do we feel them? Even after experiencing the best this world has to offer, the most fun, the most thrills, the best family times, the best whatever times, we're still unfilled and we turn to God again. Wow. And that's what it says. There's another line from that song. Our restless spirits yearn for thee, or for you. Yearning for Christ speaks of our spirits being restless. Sometimes I feel restless. You ever feel restless? Restless in your jobs, restless in your spiritual life, restless in your recreation, restless in your relationships, restless in your heart. Yeah. And you need to know that that restlessness is a restlessness sent from God. A restlessness that can only be laid to rest in Him. Over 1,500 years ago, St. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. Yeah, it's true. There is this God-shaped hole in our hearts, and we're made for a longing to be with Him, longing for communion with Him, that He meets our deepest need. Now, sin dulls that longing. It dulls the longing in all of us, in me, you, all of us. But the more that we draw near to God, the more that we find, yes, this is what I was looking for. This is what I was made for. I found it. Yeah. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. And I used to think that that was, I didn't read it right. I used to think, well, you know, if you do the right things, God's going to give you the desires of your heart. Or, you know, seek first the kingdom of heaven and all these things will be added to you. And if you just do the right things, God's going to give you those other things that you desire. But it's not really that. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. It's saying, this is what your heart desires. It's a reflexive statement. When you delight yourself in the Lord, you find what your heart truly desires. This morning we read about the Samaritan woman. Jesus had to go through Samaria, or He chose to go through Samaria, whatever. And He stopped and asked her for a drink and started this whole conversation rolling because she was kind of curious. You know, I'm a Samaritan and a woman, and you're talking to me? Most Jews wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't talk to Samaritans, and certainly not a woman. And, you know, they despise Samaritans, wanted little to do with them. Jesus didn't. And Jesus took this innocent conversation and immediately deepened it. Yeah, oh, give me water. And He said, if you knew who I was, you'd ask for living water. She says, living water? Uh-huh. You don't even have a bucket and the well's deep. Where are you going to get this living water? You know, she's still thinking water, you know, like from the well. And then Jesus said to her, He said, whoever drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of well, water welling up to eternal life. Pretty neat. Her response was, sounds great, I'd love to have that water. So they won't get thirsty again and have to keep coming back here to draw water. She didn't catch what He was saying. But Jesus did give her that living water, revealed Himself as the Messiah. She believed in Him. And if you read the rest of the chapters, a bunch of other people in that town believed in Him too. I'd like to focus on Jesus' words here in verse 13. You drink this water, you'll be thirsty again. If you drink the water I give you, you'll never be thirsty again. Good time to drink water right now. Yesterday I was working outside. We're working in the heat and kept having to go get a drink of water all the time. Drank lots of water yesterday. Boy, it'd be neat to never have to drink water again. But that's not what it's talking about here. He says that deep.
This is what it's about.
He's comparing what the earth can provide with what God can provide, comparing earthly water with heavenly water. And he says, you know, you drink this, you'll be thirsty again. But you drink the living water, it's going to well up inside of you. And I've seen that, how with lots of earthly pleasures, you know, their ability to please fades so that you need more and more of them over time to get the same thrill. Earthly pleasures are often like drugs. You know, with drugs, you take them once and you get high. I'm not speaking from personal experience, but issue a disclaimer here. But you take them once, and the first time you get high, and then you want it again, and you need a little bit more to get high, and pretty soon, you know, you're way into drugs and taking a lot of drugs just to get the same high. And they begin to really destroy your body and mind. There's a lot of earthly pleasures that are like that, you know. Computer games. I remember, well, I still play computer games, but, you know, you get this new computer game, and oh, it's pretty fun, and you want to play it all the time, and pretty soon you get it figured out, and it just doesn't hold you anymore. It doesn't have the same interest. People who are addicted to pornography, they tell you about its power to destroy and how it does not satisfy. You look at it, it gives you some pleasure of a kind, but not really. And the more you get, the more you want, and the less it satisfies until you're so deep into it that you can hardly get out. Like an addict, it destroys your relationship. You need to just flee from it. Or riches. You get some and you want more. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say, well, I have enough and I don't really want any more. Whether they live in a, you know, they don't have any money, or whether they have houses, they always want more. You get new clothes. Pretty soon they're not new anymore and you need some more. You get this new toy or boat or tool or recreation or whatever and enjoy it, but pretty soon it just doesn't give the thrills it did at the beginning. You tire of it. This is what earthly pleasures are like. They do not satisfy. You know, even some of the more wholesome things, like family, like serving others, they bring real satisfaction. They do. I enjoy family times. But they still don't fill the inner hole in your soul. You can have good family times, but still have this ache within you. You want your cup filled, you want the deepest pleasure a person can know, it's in Jesus Christ. It's found, first of all, in salvation in Him. If you don't know Him as Savior, then you're going to have that hole, a big hole. Jesus speaks here about living water and how that living water must come from Him. We have to find our salvation in Him. We're going to get to heaven. We must drink deeply at the fountain of Christ. Take Christ in. You know, we celebrate communion. We take in the bread and the wine. And it's all about Jesus' death on the cross and our taking that death to ourselves. Taking Christ in. Finding our hope, our satisfaction in Jesus Christ. And here we see in our passage, it talks about filling our thirst with water or wine. Jesus said that just a few chapters further. This is John 4, John 6. He said, I am the bread of life. Whoever wants to have a part in Christ must eat my flesh. This is what it's about. It's about taking Christ in. Taking to yourself his death as your only hope. Receiving Jesus. Taking him in. It's not about being a good person. Can never be a good enough person. Or going to church. All those sorts of things are good things. But our hope, our salvation, our lifeblood is found in Christ. Our nourishment, our life-giving nourishment is in him. We live spiritually so far as we feed on Christ. But it's more than salvation. It's also our daily life. Salvation brings real satisfaction in knowing that, you know, you're going to be in heaven and knowing that you have this relationship with Christ and you can turn to him in tough times. But you'd be a fool to just take that much and stop there. It's kind of like going to a buffet and taking two little items on your plate and then you're done. But that's what some people do in their Christian life. They take just a little bit of Christ. The more you drink of Jesus, the more your soul is satisfied. Why stop at salvation? Why stop at a starvation diet? Eating only enough to keep yourself alive. Drink and eat deeply of Christ. Sometimes we feel an emptiness. You ever feel an emptiness? I know I do. You know, I get involved in the things of life, work and other stuff, and even, like I say, the good pleasures, and sometimes there's still this emptiness inside. Sometimes other people have things. You read books and, you know, some famous missionary or something, and he's got something, and he talks about something, and he said, boy, I wish I had that. I wish my life were like that. I wish I could know that kind of joy. We know where it's found. It's found in Christ, in a deeper relationship with him. It obviously brings him great joy, peace, passion. I want that, Lord. And it's kind of different than an earthly pleasure. Like I talked earlier about, you know, these earthly pleasures that you have them and they kind of fade over time, you know. The computer game just isn't as exciting, or, you know, there's still an emptiness even in the good family times. But with God, the more you get, the more you want, the more it fulfills your deepest need. This is what I've been yearning for all my life. The more you have, the more you want. Think of the words of Jesus here. It says, I will become in him or her a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Another old song, feed me till I want no more. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. That's what I want. Yeah, that's where the good life is found. But you know what? I don't always live it. I know that's where it's found. You guys know it too. But we don't. Why? And I'm not here to lay a guilt trip on you. I'm here to say, how do we get there? How do we find this deeper life? How do we walk and have that spring welling up to eternal life? I think it starts with prayer, with wanting it. Saying, you know, I do want that kind of life. I do want a life that's just filling and full of joy and peace and passion for God. I want it. Starts with wanting it. Starts with praying for God, asking for that. Lord, fill me. Do this in me. Work this in me. You know, we can't just make ourselves do these things. His Spirit works in us. But we can have that longing. That longing for something more, something better. It begins with Part of it is drawing close to him, reading his word, singing his songs, being with his people, growing in your Christian life. But it's the desire that comes first, the desire for something more. Praying, opening your heart to him, spending time with him, you know. You don't build a relationship on a minute a day. You build a relationship on walking, on desire, on sharing, receiving, and giving. I wish I could say that my spiritual life took off when I discovered this. Sometimes it's 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. Sometimes it's 2 steps forward and 7 steps back. But I know it's there. And I know it's good. And that's what's going to fill the hole in my heart and the hole in your heart. That's what's going to fill the emptiness. Sometimes I don't drink as deeply of Christ as I should. Somehow the devil distracts me away from that, with good things and with not so good things, that just don't satisfy. But I do long to taste it more. So I urge you, friends, draw near to God. Draw near to Christ. Drink of Christ. Drink deeply of his salvation. Drink deeply of his person. Fill yourself with his word. Walk and talk with him, so that you may have that life-giving spring welling up within you to eternal life. Let's pray. Oh Lord, you are the one that we long for. You are the one we adore. Our hearts yearn for you. In Christ's name, amen.